Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a song that we sang in youth group back in the 70s and 80s that asked, "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eye. He'll show it to you." In this season after Epiphany, we're discovering ways that Jesus is made manifest, ways that we can see Jesus. We are encouraged to take a look, to open our eyes to see Jesus our Lord. Now the song went on to verses that talked about nature, and it talked about interactions with family and friends as ways that we could see Jesus our Lord. In today's gospel reading, we're at a scene where Jesus is made manifest to the crowds. But more importantly, Jesus is made manifest to some of John the Baptist's disciples. And among those disciples is Andrew. There he is with the X on, right? Andrew is brother to Simon. We know him as Saint Andrew, patron saint of Scotland, and a martyr for the faith. But how was Jesus made manifest to Andrew? Well, John the Baptist was doing what John the Baptist does. He points to Jesus. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you were kind of looking for a ta-da moment, there it is. John sees Jesus walking toward him, and he shouts out to anyone who would listen, saying things like, "Take a look at this guy. He's someone who will be important for all of us." But this has been John's gig from the start. He was to be that voice in the wilderness preparing the way of the Lord. With his message of repentance and his promise of someone who would come after him, John attracted people to the Jordan for baptism, and he even attracted disciples of his own, like Andrew. Now, Andrew was a disciple then of John the Baptist. He had heard John's message, and it had been effective. Andrew's life had been changed so much that he was now following John. He was continuing to learn from him. He was helping him. But John's message was always twofold. First, he was teaching us all that we need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to turn back to where God is leading us into the world. We need to do God's will, loving the people around us, thus showing God how much we love God. Now, the second part of John's message was that there was someone who was coming after him. There was someone who was coming who would begin to change the world. John never put himself forward as the last word. John was not the final messenger of the final message. His wasn't the redemptive solution that God was planning to save us with. It wasn't John, but that one, God's chosen servant, that one was coming. Now, Andrew had heard this, preached and taught, proclaimed up and down the River Jordan. And that message changed his life. He knew his need to turn and to follow God. And he was excited to meet this promised Messiah. So when John shouted out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who forgives the world," Andrew's ears perk up, and he was looking around to see who it was that John was talking about. And there was Jesus. It wasn't really probably very much to look at, just a guy from up north like Andrew himself was. He wasn't a celebrity. There was no paparazzi surrounding him. He didn't have a PR person. Because it wasn't because of something Jesus did that got Andrew's attention. It was because Andrew knew John's message. He knew John. And if John was saying it, then this is the one we are waiting for. So Andrew goes up to Jesus and he asks him, where are you staying? Now, this could have been a simple question of one guy from outside of town talking to another guy from outside of town. Hi, we're both from out of here. Have you found a cheap place to stay? Could have been that. Probably not. It also could have been a question of intent. Where are you staying? Are you staying with John and his message of repentance and God's kingdom? Or is there more to your message? But ultimately, I think this was a question asking about abiding. Jesus, from where do you draw your strength, your life, your living? Where do you abide? And Jesus' response to Andrew is, come and see. Follow me. Become my disciple. Become an apprentice. Jesus then went on to show Andrew that he was building on John's message. It wasn't just repentance, but love for neighbors and all. He showed Andrew from where he drew his strength and life, his hope and peace, and that is from God's unconditional and unending love. And then Jesus spent the rest of his life giving Andrew instruction so that Andrew could then live his life as God's child. Now we too have been listening to John the Baptist. We've been listening to John the Evangelist. And we know that we too need to repent. We need to change the direction of our lives so that we are walking with Jesus. We also know that Jesus is the Word of God with that capital W. And that Word lives among us, showing us glory and grace, giving us signs of hope, forgiveness, and salvation. Now, there are times when we hear that message, when we watch Jesus in the gospel, and we see his life, and we wonder, where is he staying, and can I stay there too? Because it looks like Jesus sees people as real, even the ones he doesn't like. Jesus helps people, all people, even irritating people. Jesus connects to God in prayer, and he connects with people in care. He lives in such a way that shares all of God's good gifts. Can we stay there too? What would it look like for us to live like that? Jesus abides in the love of God. It is from that love that Jesus draws his strength and life. It is from that love that Jesus finds courage to face his enemy and the endurance to deal even with his friends. Can we abide there? What does it look like to abide in the love of God? Jesus tells Andrew, come and see. Follow me. Become my disciple. Become an apprentice. Jesus tells us that same thing every day. Jesus is constantly calling us to follow, calling us to be inspired, calling us to come and find a life that brings the love of God with you wherever it is that you are. The call first came in our baptism, but it comes to us every single day. Sometimes it comes in the voice of a friend or a child or an addict or a patient or a student or your parent. Sometimes that invitation comes as a still small voice, and sometimes it echoes from the rooftops. It is so loud. Jesus wants us to follow him. Jesus wants us to find out what it looks like to love the world as God intends. Jesus wants us to know that we are forgiven and that we have an opportunity to live as God's children. Jesus wants us to share and care, to love and help. He shows us what is possible And he shows us that we can do it. And he wants us to try. Now, there is no expectation of success. Jesus knows us well enough. Jesus calls us to follow, knowing that we will fall and knowing that we will fail. But Jesus wants us to follow so that we can be part of the kingdom and that he can help us up and brush us off and send us out again so that Jesus can teach us and walk with us. That was the invitation to Andrew, and it's the invitation to all of us as well. Andrew turned around and invited his brother Simon. Simon came to Jesus and got a brand new name. What would it look like if we were out inviting others to come and see Jesus? What would it look like for us to receive a new name, like friend? Jesus' call to us is real today. May we all respond and follow. May we all become Jesus' apprentice, learning from him how to act and to care, to live and to love. And may we all discover a way to bring the love of God with us wherever it is that we go. Where are we staying? Come and see. It is with the Lord. Amen.